5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, great job. See, that wasn't so hard. So I want to do a real quick survey. Just raise your hand. How many of you shared your name? Okay, just about everybody. How many shared where you're from? Can you share where you're from? Got a few hands. How many of you shared what you do for a living or what grade you're in? Yeah, if you don't have a job, you're probably in school. But all right, I think that's just interesting. When I came up here, I actually said, my name's Nathan, and I'm a pastor. We often equate like what we do with who we are when we're introducing ourselves to other people. And that's why we're doing this whole service, or this whole series, 76,000 hours. That's an extremely round number for the amount of hours that you spend at work in your lifetime, and it's probably a bit higher than that, but this was a conservative number that we came up with. But that's why we're talking about it. One of the jobs that I had just recently, a few years ago, I worked at the Apple Store. I was the guy in the blue shirt on the floor who would help you buy an iPad or help you fix your iPad or whatever. And every time I tell people that I worked at Apple, I always say it was a great job. I really loved it. I'm kind of a tech guy, and I like Apple products and stuff. And it's Apple, so it's like cool, you know. So I enjoyed working there. But I also always tell people that it was retail, and like retail for me anyway, retail can only be so good. You have to deal with customers, you know, it's great. And not only was it retail, but I worked at the Fifth Avenue flagship store on Fifth Avenue and 59th Street. It's the glass cube, if you've seen it. It's actually one of the most photographed buildings in the city, which is crazy. But it's the busiest Apple store in the world. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It never closes. The only time it ever closed was for an all-store meeting or like the blizzard when the blizzard was really bad, or like Hurricane Sandy when it was really bad. But anyway, so it's open all the time, and it was a pretty crazy place to work. Like I said, I really loved it, but one of the things I had no idea that I was going to have to deal with when I got the job was this store is most of the customers are from other countries. They're international tourists. Like, over 50% of the customers are from other countries. And so, you know, I'm having to figure out how to communicate. You want an iPad or an iPhone, or you're speaking Chinese or Portuguese or Spanish, or I'm sure none of you have a problem with translating between languages. Anyway, it was kind of crazy. I also had to deal with customers who, you might have this problem, but they didn't know any of their passwords for anything. So we're setting up their iPod, and like, I just see it in their eyes, you know? They're like, I don't know my Facebook password. Like, it's the end of the world. And I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. We're just going to reset it. It'll take 5 seconds. Of course, it takes them 5 minutes, but I'm patient and everything. But the worst thing was just the business. It was just busy all the time. It was always holiday season. Like, there was no normal season. It was always super busy all the time. And like I said, I loved working for Apple. It was a great company. It was really fun to work at. But not everything was wonderful about it. And if you were here last week, you heard Chris's message, and his whole thought was that work is both a blessing and a curse, right? And hopefully you got your time card and you wrote down 5 blessings about your work and 5 curses about your work. I mean, you really just can't get away from it, right? I mean, if your job is being a full-time parent, right? You have this child. That's such a blessing, right? You brought this person into the world, and you love it unconditionally, and he or she, they just love you, and they want to be like you, and they bring you such joy, but then they throw up on you, and they wake you up at night, and when they get older, they say, no, and mine, and I hate you. It's a blessing and a curse, you know. If you work in customer service like I do, you know that every once in a while you just have that customer experience that you get them exactly what they want. And they maybe give you a big tip, You get them just the right entree, you know, whatever. Everything just feels right with the world. You're like making the world a better place. You're helping them. And then you have your customer who's drunk over here and belligerent and stiffs you on your check. Well, blessing and curse. Maybe you work in an office. You know, you have a good job. You have like normal business hours and, you know, you're doing what you really like and you enjoy it and you're in it and it's really great, but then you have to deal with your coworkers who are gossiping about you and your computer breaks. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. No matter what you do, you're going to run into your computer breaking or you don't have any more vacation days, you don't have any more sick days, and no, you're not going to get the raise, and your employees that you work with are jerks, or maybe your boss is a jerk, or maybe they're just having an off day, and the train isn't running today, so you're going to be late to this really important meeting, and no, you didn't get the call back, and no, we'll keep your resume and let you know. You know, you just can't get away from the curse of it all. And if you want to know more, like, theologically about that, listen to Chris's message, go to our website, listen to the podcast about work just turns out to be a curse. It is a good thing that God gave us. It's a blessing, but it's also a curse. And so, when we think about work like this, what do we do? I don't know about you, but what I do is oftentimes I use my imagination and I think of the ideal work situation, right? You've got it, the dream job, where it's all blessings and no curses. Everything is fine. It's, you know, if I just had this job, if I just worked at that company, if I just had that degree, if I just had that thing, whatever it is, we have a dream out there. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but that curse is going to come up again, and it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. You just can't get away from it. And the Bible talks about this. The Bible is a great place to go. And the Bible really says things that you're not going to find anywhere else. The Bible says something really powerful for how to deal with work. And it doesn't start with the job description about how to find the ideal, perfect job. It starts with a change in your perspective. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was writing this sermon and I heard myself saying, it starts with a change in perspective, I became cynical and was like, really? Really, if I was listening to the sermon, I'd say, really? I just changed my perspective and then everything's happy, right? Oh, great. Honestly, that's how a lot of us look at the Bible, too, don't we? You know, the Bible is this holy book, and if we just do what it says, everything will be happy. Your life will go well. Everything will be great. But that's not how it is. That's not what the Bible says about itself. The Bible is very gritty and raw and just kind of says things how they are. It's not a self-help book. It describes things for how they really are. So we're going to look at the scriptures today. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out and turn to the book of Colossians. You can also follow along with me on the screen. But we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3. And this was a book that was, it's actually a letter, a short letter that was written in 60 AD, around that time period. And this is just 30 years after Jesus had done his ministry. He had died, risen, ascended to heaven, and there were eyewitnesses that had seen Jesus rise from the dead, and they spread this message about Jesus all over at that time, the Roman world. And so 30 years later, there's this group of Christians in the town of Colossae, and Paul, who is a leader, an apostle in the church, writes them a letter to help them understand more about this good news about Jesus and how to live it out in their lives. And in the first two chapters, Paul talks about how Jesus is everything that we need. He is God in the flesh. He has all authority in heaven on earth to forgive our sins. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It's not Jesus and then some angels and some saints and some rules that we need to follow. No, it's just Jesus. He is sufficient for all that we need. And then in chapter 3, where we're going to be today, he gives the application, how to live out the implications of this in our everyday life. Okay? So let's look at Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. So just want to pause before we go on. But since then, you've been raised with Christ. Like I said, everything that Paul is about to say has to do with Jesus and how he is sufficient for everything for us. And he actually uses the metaphor of baptism in the previous few verses, which a few weeks ago, we at Everyday Church got to see a few people get baptized. So it's kind of a thing that's fresh in our mind. But he says in chapter 2, he says, you've been buried with Jesus in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So in other words, you have your life that's sin, it's sinful, disconnected from God, and when you're baptized, you're put under the water, kind of like you're being put to death. That life is being put to death. And then when you come up out of the water, you're being raised to a new life, a clean, forgiven life that is right with God. And that's the picture that baptism gives us. And so Paul says, since you have raised with Christ, you have a new life. If you're a Christian, you have a new life. He says to do this. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So this is the perspective change, right? We're putting our minds on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Paul knows that in your life, you may become a Christian, start following Jesus, but then you just look at your life, which we still live in this life of sin and the curse. The curse is bigger than just work. It's everywhere, and it affects all of our lives. And we might look around and say, I don't know if Jesus is enough. I don't know if this is all going to work out the way that Jesus says it is. There's a lot of stuff going on. Paul says to keep your mind and your heart on heavenly things, on Christ. And he says about Christ two things. He says that he's seated and he's at the right hand of God. So Jesus is at the right hand. And when you think about like a king, they sit on the throne, and then whoever's on their right hand is the person of honor, the person of authority. So Jesus is at God's right hand. He has the authority. And he's seated. He's not standing, he's seated. That means that his work is done. Everything is accomplished. There's nothing else that you need to do or that he needs to do or that anyone else needs to do for you to be reconciled to God, for your sins to be forgiven, for you to be saved, for you to have this new life. It's all taken care of, period. And then Paul says something a little bit strange, but we can handle it. He says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, so he says, you died. So your old life of sin and being disconnected from God, it died, right? Now you have this new life, but it's kind of hidden. You know, I looked up the Greek word for hidden. It means hidden. It doesn't mean anything special. So that didn't help. But your life is somehow hidden. And what I think it means is that everything that God has for you, everything that Jesus wants for you, you don't have all of it yet. A phrase that I've heard that helps me with this is that it's now, but not yet. It's now, but not yet. Have I been forgiven of my sins? Yes, I'm forgiven of my sins. Do I have a new life now? Yes, I have a new life now. Is my heart good? Yes, I have everything I need in Christ that is sufficient. But not everything is what God desires for me. And that Jesus says, or Paul says, when Christ, when he comes again, then you will appear with him. And it won't be hidden anymore. You'll have everything that Jesus wants for you. But right now we live in this life with the curse everywhere, and we have to deal with that until we get everything we need. When Christ returns. Does that make sense? It's now, but it's not yet. Paul also says something that it's hard to wrap your mind around in that verse. He says, when Christ, who is your life, when Christ who is your life? So Nathan equals Christ. Christ is my life. That's a huge, huge thought, and that's a bit of an eternal perspective to things. Remember, I was talking about the change in perspective, where you find, where you put your mind. It's also thinking about from an eternal perspective that, you know, my life just isn't about me right now. It's about that not yet. Nathan equals Jesus. So what is Jesus doing in the world? What is Jesus doing in history, in this cosmic thing that he's doing in eternity? It's not just about my life. I mean, that's a huge, huge thought. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, Nathan, that is really awesome. What does it have to do with my job? Well, I really think it has to do everything with your job. Because we're talking about your perspective on where you get your identity, where you find fulfillment. And if you try and find fulfillment in your job, you're going to bump up against the curse. You're not going to be able to find complete fulfillment in who you are as a person, who God has made you to be. If you're looking to work to do all that for you, you're not going to find it. But when we find our identity, or who we are in Jesus, and it's not all tied up in what we do for a living, there's a freedom there. There's a completely different way of thinking about life. If I had to boil it all down for you, I'd say it's not about what you do, but who you serve. It's not about what you do, but who you serve. You can do all kinds of things. Who you serve trumps what you do. I mean, you can think about it in many ways, like regardless of what their job is, you can think about people who serve money, right? Whatever their job is, they're just trying to make more money, trying to get up the corporate ladder, trying to do as much as they can, right? You can think, regardless of their job, someone who serves recognition or approval from others, whatever their job might be, they're just wanting to get noticed, wanting people to give them compliments, wanting people to notice them, right? Regardless of whatever job it is, you can think of people who are just living up to the expectations of their family or themselves. They're serving that. Regardless of whatever job it is, some people are serving just their hopes and their dreams. They're just looking for happiness. It's not so much about what you do, but who you serve. It's who you serve really trumps what you do. And for the Christian, we're called to serve Jesus. Jesus is the one we serve. You could say Jesus is our boss. That sounds really cheesy, like it'd be on a bumper sticker or something, but it's true. And like I said, that changes everything. If you're not looking to your job for your fulfillment or the approval of others or the to fulfill the expectations of others or to find your hopes and dreams fulfilled and happiness, if you're not looking to your job for that, if you're looking to Jesus for that, then suddenly you're free to do your job, to do a really good job at it, but find your fulfillment in Jesus. You kind of can be fulfilled in what you do because you're serving Jesus. Okay, now that's a big change in our thinking when it comes to work. And later on in this passage, Paul actually gives us a great application to, like, how do I actually do that? What does that look like in my life? And it's later on in verse 22. He starts out by, slaves, obey your masters in everything. So he's speaking to slaves. And in this longer section, where Paul is giving all this application, he speaks to a typical Roman household, to all the roles that are there. So he speaks to wives, to husbands, to parents, to children, to servants or slaves, and their masters. So he's just speaking to the people of his day. And I just want to remind us that when we read about slavery in the Bible, it's not that the Bible condones slavery by any means, but it's just speaking to the the modern context of their world. And there were people who are slaves. How should we live now that we're Christians? And I think that the closest equivalency for the application of what he's talking about for us is our work lives. So he says, slaves, or maybe you can think of employees. Hopefully you don't think of your job as slavery. But he says, slaves, obey your masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Like I said, where do you read stuff like that? That's not in any self-help book. If you're a boss right now, you're probably like, yes, do whatever I want, even when I'm not looking. That would be great. But the powerful thing that why you would do this is because your perspective is on Jesus. You're serving him. So you can serve with sincerity of heart, even when your boss isn't looking. You can serve with reverence. You can work, it says, with all of your heart. And that phrase is used in the Bible a few times to speak about your life or your inmost being. You're able to work out of that place. That's difficult to do sometimes, but it helps when you have the right perspective. What I'd like us to do next is I want to give you a gift of application. I want us to memorize one of these phrases in this passage. And it's a phrase that has been huge in my life. Whenever I have been in a job or my current job, I have to remind myself all the time that I'm serving Christ and I'm going to do it with all my heart. And it's in verse 23. And we're going to read it a few times together. And as we go through it, I'm going to take out a phrase, then we'll read the whole thing, we'll take out another phrase, then we'll recite the whole thing together. And by the end, you'll have it memorized. Okay? Think you can do it? Awesome. Okay. So let's read it with all the words a couple times. So read it with me. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay, let's do the whole thing one more time. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay, let's take away the first part. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Take away the next one. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay, let's try the whole thing. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay, one more time. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Awesome. You guys did a great job, and I hope that really stays with you. And even more to drive this home, I'd like you to take out your connection card. And if we could put the whole verse back up there again, if you could pull out your connection card and write this whole verse on the back. And I want to challenge you for the next week, for your next work week, if you could write this down and put it on, you can tear it off and put it in your wallet with your Metro card. You can put it on the mirror of your bathroom in the morning. You can put it on the dash of your car. Just put it somewhere where you'll be reminded every day, preferably before you go to work, of who you're working for, that you're working for Christ. You're working for the Lord. So you're going to work with all your heart. Okay, so take a moment and write this down and think about where you could put it. And I want you to just think about like what it would look like if you actually did this. If you came to your job and you worked with all of your heart, with sincerity, with reverence. I mean, quite honestly, you don't even have to be a Christian. I mean, if you're not a Christian yet, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening to this podcast. But you can try this stuff. You can even take the Jesus part out of it. Just work with all your heart. With reverence. I mean, your boss will probably like it. But you're not going to find the fulfillment through it because you're not, because you're, what you're serving might not be Christ. But you can still try it out. As we're talking about our work and our perspective, I actually had to deal with this in a very specific way this past year. I started to get my perspective on earthly things, and specifically other people's approval and them noticing me. And I had really lost sight of my identity in Christ. It was just about a year ago here at Everyday Church, we were getting ready to start our newest of our groups, the Creativity Group, and I was kind of given the leadership of it to launch and to lead this new project. And this was kind of a big deal for me. I mean, I'm a young pastor, and like, in my mind, if this thing succeeds, certain people out there will notice me. I'll get the right kind of attention. I'll be pretty awesome. That's what was going on in my mind. And I remember in January of this year, Larry Bennett and I had a meeting, and we were talking about, like, okay, Nathan, what's it going to take to get this group started, all this stuff? And it was really daunting, and I was really taken aback. It was going to be much harder than I thought it would be. I had not prepared as much as I thought I needed to, and I left kind of depressed. And if you know Larry, it wasn't Larry's fault. He's the most encouraging and loving person in the universe. But it had to be successful. And my personality is a perfectionist, so it had to be perfect. It had to be perfect from the very beginning. Pretty difficult. I'm putting a lot of weight on myself. The next day, I had a pretty long conversation with my dad on the phone. We were just talking through all of this, and I started to realize what I was doing. You know, it was all about getting the approval and recognition from other people. And I had to remind myself that my identity doesn't come from that. My identity comes from Jesus, who he says I am, what he has done for me. He's died for me. He loves me unconditionally. That's where I get my self-worth and who I am as a person. Not in my job or this project. And it was a huge perspective change. And it totally changed things for me. I was able to like be excited about this whole project again. And it didn't matter if I was successful or not. It could fail. It could totally fail. And I would be okay. I wasn't wrapped up in whether it succeeds or fails. And I was given the freedom to do my very best, to put my all into it. And if it works, great. Glory to God. If it doesn't work, great. It's God's fault. I'm gonna do my best. Isn't that freeing though? It's a total change of perspective. I had to remind myself it doesn't matter so much what I'm doing. It matters who I'm serving. So as you think about your work, what you do, what would that look like for you to live out this whole teaching this morning? What would it look like for you? Maybe you just need to spend some time and think about this. Think about where your identity comes from, where your self-worth, your fulfillment comes from. And if it's all wrapped up in your job, you might need to spend some time thinking through that, praying through that, talking with others, working through that. Maybe you just need to be really practical about this. And like, yep, I'm going to read the scripture every day this week before I go to work, and I'm going to make sure I get there on time. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to honor the Lord in all that I do. And you know, the really exciting thing is that Jesus talks about what this kind of life, what it does. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, he says that, I'm going to make it about our work. But he says, you, in your job, you're the salt of the earth. You're sweet. You preserve things. You're the salt of the earth. You, in your job, you're the light of the world. You're bringing light into dark places. By following Jesus this way, by honoring him, and then all that you do, whatever you do, you're salt, you're light. Jesus said, let the people see your light shine before men, and they'll praise God for what you're doing. You know, we're going to be talking about that next week. I really hope that you come back for Chris's message as we talk about what our role is in this whole kingdom that God is working through all of us. I really hope you come back for that. Let me leave you with this illustration. When I worked at Apple, I had a uniform. It's a blue shirt. I think right now it's probably Christmas season, so everyone's wearing red if you go to the Apple store. But the rest of the year, we had this blue shirt. And I knew that whenever I put this blue shirt on, I represented Apple Incorporated, a multi-billion-dollar company, but whoever my customer was, I was Apple. And I remember when I was working there during a period when I was really not excited about working there. I heard a sermon from somebody. He was just talking about how at work, if you wear a uniform, you represent your company. And as Christians, you represent Christ to those around you. And this was a really tangible thing for me to do, to remember that when I put on this shirt, when I go out onto the floor, yes, I represent Apple, but I also represent the Lord. My coworkers, to my customers. And actually, this verse came to mind quite a bit. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Like, I don't feel like working at it with all my heart, but I'm not serving Apple, I'm serving the Lord. So I'm going to work at it with all my heart. So, who do you work for? It's not about what you do. It's about who you serve. Let's pray.